Hi Pratin, thank you so much for taking the time. I wanted to start off with I think a weird question, which is like I think you started engineering in Cummins College of Engineering, which
Yes.
is an all-girls college. So any particular reason you chose to do that?
Not actually, man. Like, to be honest, Cummins College is one of the best colleges in Pune. And when like at least for me, I came from a middle class family where it's very important to have a good placement. And you look at colleges from the aspect that, okay, does this college have a good placement? And my college had really good placement options, so we decided why not. So that was the only reason. Like, a lot of people think that I chose. My parents asked me to join the college because it's an only girls, all girls college, and yada yada. But actually, it was just because it had great placements and the faculty was good. It's a good reputed college, and that's the only reason why I joined it.
And just to make sure we got the ending right, so did you get placed at the end of it, or did you not get placed?
Obviously, oh man, that, obviously, yes. I worked with UBS, is a Swiss bank, investment bank, for around 1.5 years before I decided to switch Endeavorel.
How much value do you think people should place? I mean, you placed your entrance on placements. How much value do you think people should generally place as
Well,
a
yeah, I get a question. Well, it totally depends upon where you are standing. In terms of your career, in terms of your financial background, in terms of how much of freedom you have in terms of taking choices, that's how I'd like to put it. Like, if you have the freedom to explore more and not jump into a job, please do that. Take your time, see if it's something that you really want, or if you want to go out and explore some, you want to learn more. But at least in my case, it was very much important for me to get a job. I was supporting my family, so it was very important for me to get a job as soon as possible. But if it's totally up to you and how your background looks like and what are your, how does your support system look like, to be honest?
Understood. How were
Yeah.
you as a student?
Oh, as a student, I was the one who used to sit on the first bench. And
Really?
yeah, I was that one. And the worst
Were
thing
you like a
about me
class
is I.
topper?
What?
Were you like the class topper?
Not topper, but yeah, among the. I was very, very, you can say, ambitious, and I'm still very competitive. But yeah, you can say among the top 10. I was among the top 10, not the topper. I tried to be, but I wasn't.
Out of how many students?
Out of 80?
Okay. It shouldn't be like top 10 out of 15. That'll be like pretty bad. So, yeah.
No, but I'll tell you one really bad thing about me was I was the that kid in college who used to, when the whole class used to decide to go on a bunk, I used to say, no, I won't bunk, and I used to stay back.
Oh, okay. Understood.
Yeah, I hope you don't hate me.
Actually, I also didn't do a lot of bunking myself. So, I mean, I think I would be sitting next to you if we were in college, but I'm not a girl, so probably not. Anyways, what do you miss from your college days?
What I miss is sitting on the stairs and eating our tiffins. That's what I really miss about college days. And secondly, being in college and yet being so, when I was in college, at least that time, I wasn't open to this whole Twitter world or the world where today you see 14-year-olds killing it in terms of tech or startups. I was from the time where things were very normal. You do your engineering and then you get a job and all of that. But still, I remember being very, very active in communities, hackathons, and always doing something different than what everyone else did. And just trying to break out from the very normal culture. And that's what I miss. Like, you always have a lot of people around you. You have your own friends group. And I miss that. Now it's like a lone wolf battle now when you grow up.
So, you were not very active on any social media while you were in college, is it? Like,
No,
were
I
you
wasn't
Twitter?
very active. No, I wasn't. I didn't know that I could like be active on Twitter and actually use it to my benefit. I always thought Twitter to be a place where there's political hate, and yeah, that was my perspective about Twitter.
What changed your mind? At what point did you realize that, this is something I can play as well?
COVID changed a lot for all of us, right? Like COVID was a game changer. And it was for me also. I started feeling very low in terms of work because me being a very, I'm a very active kid and I'm very energetic, always hyperactive. So even if I'm working, I like to work with people, like to work in teams. But then during COVID, we were all back home and everything was very sad, right? Like you just do your work, you send it ahead, not a lot of conversations. And then I'm like, I need a way where I can talk to more people, I can connect to more like-minded people. And that's how I got introduced to the tech Twitter part. And yeah, that was my in. That was the time that everything changed for me.
Were you on TikTok? I mean,
No. I wasn't on TikTok. I wasn't on TikTok because I didn't have a good phone. I come from a very, very humble background. So I didn't have a really good phone. I had a very basic phone. The first good phone
was
from my own salary.
Any smartphone would do, right? I mean, TikTok would run on any base model as well, right?
But my RAM was really low, right? So then I know this because I couldn't even have... When I joined my company, I still was using the old phone and the company had one app and my phone couldn't even run that app. So my RAM was really low.
Understood. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I think you recently moved from Bangalore to Pune.
From Pune to Bangalore.
I'm so sorry. Why is it from Pune to Bangalore? I'm so sorry. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, how was your experience moving? Is moving out of your parents' place, is that experience overrated, underrated?
It's not overrated, I feel. It's totally not overrated. It is something that if you've not done in your life, and if you can afford, please do it. I would suggest everyone to go through it, and especially for girls, because as girls, we're always in our cocoon. There are a lot of things that you don't know until you go out. Like personally, in my case, I thought I'm really good with understanding people, basically just knowing what people's intentions are. And you just end up trusting everyone, right? Because all the time when you're at home is a very safe space. So you've never seen people be like fake or lie to you or cheat you and all of that. So you end up trusting like the whole world is a very good place. But when you go out, you realize that that's not the case. You have to be very careful. You can't be the same naive, innocent person that you've always been. And that experience teaches you a lot. So I just
want to interrupt. So I think there was a tweet that you, I don't know when you tweeted this, but so I'm quoting you from that tweet. So something that Bangalore taught me is that never trust people at face value. You'll come across multiple founders who'll scream their valuation, revenue acquisitions, but can be complete frauds. If someone quotes something, ask for proof, end quote. So do you want to elaborate?
Yeah, I can. Like, I can tell. I can give. So, I had a brief experience with one person who was supposed to be a founder, and I was really good friends with that person. And the person ended up being not being what he had told, and not just on a personal level, but even on a professional level. And when you come from a very simple background, like even though I'm an educated person, I realized that we take a lot of things for granted and we just trust people on the face value, right? Like if someone tells you, hey, I got Series A, Series B funding, and if you've just entered the startup world, you just trust them, right? Like, because why would someone lie? But then now that I have an experience, people do lie about these things. There are a lot of folks you'll find who just lie because that's how it is for them. And that is also reality that... you need to do your due diligence, if not just if you're being friends, but especially friends, it's at least fine, right? Like it won't affect you a lot. But if you're professionally connecting with someone, and if you better do your due diligence, you go out, you check them well on Google, ask them awkward questions, but make sure that you've done your due diligence. So yeah, that was just a very bad experience that I had. But it taught me a lot, and I'm glad I had that experience.
Does it make your day-to-day, you know, conversations harder? Because now, I mean, I think you're defaulting to the notion that, you know, most people might be either, you know, deceiving or they may not be truthful. So does it make your day-to-day life much more harder, or, you know, for people in general, for you to be a little more trustworthy?
It does, to be honest. Yeah, it does. It has brought that issue of trust in me where I'm like, okay, whenever someone says do not trust them. I just don't trust the first thing. But I think it's okay like that. It's okay if it's that way. If I'm taking something with a pinch of salt rather than later knowing that, okay, this ended up being completely fake. At least that way I'm safeguarding myself from not being a part of any, like, not falling in the pothole, I might say. But yeah, it has changed me in terms of how I look at people. Initially, it was like us to just bond, connect, and just trust anything that anyone said, because that's how I am. Like, you don't lie about some very basic things. Why would you lie? But then apparently that's not how the world works.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Fair enough. So in what ways do you think Pune is like is different from Bangalore?
I think Pune is just the younger sibling of Bangalore, I'll say. Oh. Pune is a place where Pune is the best place for education. I'm very glad I did my education in Pune, and I would also recommend a lot of people to get their education from Pune. The colleges are very focused, and it's a good space to be in. But yeah, and on the same terms, Bangalore stay true to the whole notion of being the Silicon Valley of India. Things are pretty fast here in Bangalore. Like, you can literally change your life in months if you decide to do that. Opportunities are a lot in Bangalore. But at the same time, there are also a lot of cons to Bangalore. Like, the lifestyle is very, very expensive, and you don't end up saving how much you would have saved if you were back in your city. Mm-hmm. So it's a give and take. I can say you have to choose what you want to lose and what you want to gain from this give and take. Yeah.
So, I mean, at this point, you're a developer advocate at nhost.io. But yes. Did you have the clarity? I mean, when you're starting, you'll obviously have a lot of career options that you can probably go to. And I think you already also, you know, dabbled into, you know, deep learning and other tech as well.
Yes.
So at what point did you kind of realize that, DA is something that you wanted to pursue, and when did it really kind of get serious?
So I never pursued. I didn't know that a role like DA exists, or the complete dev rel. It was very, very new to me. But I think I always knew I wanted to do something where I would be an advocate for tech. I remember once I was in 12th standard, and my uncle had come home, and he'd asked me, what are your plans in future? What do you want to do? And I remember telling him, I want to be on that stage and I want to talk about some tech product. That time I had no idea if there would be something, there would be a role for this actual job. And today when I'm there, it all feels like it just fell in place, and I'm so glad about it. Like, you very rarely I see people who truly are in love with what they do. And I think I'm very privileged and lucky enough to say I am in love, completely in love, and I'm very passionate about what I do. And I think, I don't know if I answered your question or if I just digress somewhere else.
No, that's okay. So just to follow up. So, I mean, I feel you're also like a sort of like a minor celebrity in DA. Like, how do you think about like fame, and, you know, how famous would you like to get also? Like,
just I don't think of it. I don't think of myself as a celebrity, but I do think I have a platform where I can bring in change and I can be heard. That's what I recognize and I accept that, yeah, I have a platform where if I put out something, I will be heard, which is a really good place to be in, right? Because it's not easy today to make a mark in this world. It's not easy to be heard. And I'm not trying to play the, in quotes, woman card, but if to be honest and to be really truthful, especially if you're a woman, it's more hard for you to put out your word. So the platform has helped me a lot in connecting with people. That is how having an audience has helped me. And I'm very, very glad about it. So I make sure that I'm using it to the best of my effort, and I'm helping out people. And if there's anyone who I need to like amplicate via my platform, why not? So, but yeah, I do realize that I have a platform through which I can reach a bigger audience.
Understood. On your, I'm so sorry. On your Hashnode bio, the blog that you write, I think so. It says, "quote I am a developer advocate by profession and growth hacker by heart." So, can you elaborate on what you mean by when you say growth hacker by heart?
By the way, Ryan, I'm really impressed by the kind of research you've done before this interview. That's kudos. I think this is something I'm going to learn from you today to do your research very well.
I mean, it's all downhill from here, so okay, I guess so.
Yeah, but yeah, I know, but still, it does make a difference, and you know what to ask the right question, and I'm glad I came up on this podcast today. So I think I have always had a knack for understanding, for basically being in the shoes of a customer, and purely in the tech area after I was a developer and after I did my CS. But being on the other side of the table and then imagining, okay, what would have worked for me? And then using that logic and analysis to change the product or build that strategy is something I think comes natural to me. I do it on a regular basis, not for work or anything, but I like going on product hunt. I like going on Hacker News and different platforms where I see different products coming up and just seeing, okay, what's happening in the world? What's something that's really cool? And yeah, just putting it, understanding how it was done. So one thing that's really cool is reading case studies about 0 to 1 growth. That's something that's very interesting, and I read a lot, so I guess it's become like secondary to me now. Just with whenever it's any product, my first thought about is, okay, what are the features, how do the customers react to this, what might be the issues the customers might be facing. So yeah, I think it's become a part of me now.
Understood. Do you have a book recommendation for us, if you want to share? Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, there's this a very simple book, actually, which I think everyone should read. Anyone can read is Tech Simplified.
Tech Simplified. Understood. Okay.
Yeah, it's a very simple book, and you don't have to be from a tech background, but it makes sure that you know the basic terms that people in the tech industry are using. So. Okay. Yeah, that's a book I'd recommend anyone and everyone.
So with reading, you also do a lot of writing as well. So with the blog and stuff. So when did you decide like you wanted to like, you know, kind of start, you know, hosting your own blog and putting content out there? Like what was like the motivation behind that?
I'll be honest here. So actually, I have stopped writing blogs for a very long time, and I want to get back. Life has been very chaotic for me for the last 2 months. I shifted and then changed jobs and work and all of that. So I have I haven't been constant with that. But yeah, I do plan. I have blogs coming up and pipeline. And I think about the question was how I got started with this. Did I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it again falls back to the same time of COVID when. I couldn't get a lot of help, right? If you're normally in office, you can reach out to your seniors or your colleagues whenever you face an issue. But when you're working from home, you have to Google literally everything because you can't just do a Skype call for every issue. And then I realized when I'm Googling all of this stuff, I ended up forgetting it because I needed the same solution, the same answer to the bug every single time, but I never documented it. So I ended up being in a position where I spent a lot of time. So one day I just realized, okay, I need to document this stuff. I need to make sure that I don't spend the same time again and again and again. And by that time I had started like exploring Twitter, Hashnode, and I'm like, okay, now that I'm documenting it, why can't I just put it out? Like, let me just put it out because there are so many people doing such great things with blogs that might just work for me. And yeah, that's it. That's how I started with it.
Understood. I think I want to move to Twitter a little bit. You have a decent following on Twitter. So how do you see your own Twitter? Like, do you see it as your brand? Do you see it as a way to market products, or like how do you kind of make peace with it?
I see Twitter as an actual reflection of me. And purely me. So it is not, my Twitter doesn't stand for one single brand or like It's not, I might or won't replicate one product or something. It flows with me. That's what I, because it's my platform, right? It's a platform where I want to express myself. So today, if I'm learning Web3, I'll write about Web3. Tomorrow, if I'm learning React, I want to write about React. Today, if I'm shifting places, I want to shift and I want to share a picture. I don't want to box myself under the under one thing, saying that, okay, I create content under X domain, so I'm going to share only that. No, we are humans. I am a human. Twitter is one of the places where I express myself. I feel free. I feel open. So yeah, it's just a free-flowing medium of my thoughts.
You said, you know, it's a reflection of me. So as anyone who, if they follow you on Twitter, how much do you think they truly know you just by your tweets? Like how much, like, if 100% was like was all you, like how much percent do you think people know you?
To be very honest, they'll know me around 60%.
Oh, really?
60%. Yeah.
Okay.
Because now I'm in this, I have this habit, like now if I'm frustrated, it's like Twitter has become my family, because I've made such good friends on Twitter. Francesco is one of them. Sumudu is one of them. Oliver, I can name a lot of them. There's Eddie, there's Pratham. They have actually become like family to me, where I talk to them literally daily. And if one day I'm not, like, I don't talk to them, these folks reach out to me saying, hey, are you okay? So it's become like a medium. If I'm frustrated with setting up my place, I post it on Twitter, not like something as content, but it's like, it's my medium of connecting with my friends now. I'm like, okay, this is frustrating me. So I just write it out. That's how it has become now.
Understood. I want to switch gears a bit and feel free to skip this one as well. Feel free to skip this one. So on April 25th, you tweeted, the day you break up isn't hard. The second day when you wake up is, and heart emoji, and then taking some time off social media to heal, end quote. So after reading that tweet, I thought I wouldn't see you for at least a month or so, but the next day you posted another tweet. But on a serious note, like, should people take like time off from their social media, or is it helpful during an emotionally vulnerable time, or do you think we need to be more active, because you know, as you said, there are a lot of people who are family to you, and you know, that interaction kind of helps you, like, kind of distract you from the whatever problems that might be going on. How do you kind of look at it?
First of all, I have been very, very honest on my social media, right? And there's this one notion that I've seen folks have, young folks, girls have, that lives are very perfect. Like if now that you said that I look like someone who has a very decent following, I have had a lot of girls, people reach out to me with a very, I don't get the right word, but who seemed very awestruck by me. Like, hey, how do you do this? How you're so cool, you're so good. And I just wanted to let them know, listen, I am very normal. I am just like you. I go through the same emotions. Like, I went through a breakup. And yeah, that was very, very natural. And because Twitter has been a space where I share everything, I felt I wanted to share this with my people, my family, because the next time when someone's DMing me, most of our conversations happen on DM, right? Like, all people, I reach out to a lot of people. I talk to them. I help them out. It's going to reflect. It's going to reflect in my tone. I'm going to seem a bit off track, or I won't reply. So I don't need to do it. I don't need to give everyone reasons for it. But I felt I just owed it to tell people that, hey, I'm going through a hard time right now. So I might not be very regular with how I help you out, or I might not reach out to you. But yeah, so that day it was very sad. But then people, the same folks that I said, my family reached out to me. Everyone texted me saying, hey, we're there for you. And I realized, okay, this place is at least, this is the place where I feel comfortable. Taking a break
is... Can that get annoying as well? Can that get annoying? Like, once you put it out there and, you know, people, like, everybody's kind of texting you and, you know, kind of asking, like, what happened. They might probe where you don't want them to ask certain questions, so they might ask certain questions. So does that get annoying for you as well, or that's okay?
I think in that aspect, I've really been very lucky, but because I haven't had such experiences. Whoever has reached out to me, first of all, you don't end up answering everyone, right? Like, that you will have a lot of people reaching out with good intentions, but if you don't have the bandwidth, you just don't have the bandwidth, and you have to be very honest about it. But whoever has reached out to me and my friends, and it has been, they have been very, very considerate and genuine. So it hasn't been annoying for me, not even one person. That's something I'm really glad about. Yeah.
Understood. Is there a habit you're working on overcoming? Like, is there something that you want to kind of get rid of and you're working on it?
There are a lot, to be honest. But one habit that I want to put in is to get up early. One thing I have seen with all the people that I follow closely. So today only I was talking to YK. YK is a great, like, you must be following CS. I don't know if you are, but a lot of developers follow CS Dojo on YouTube. So I was talking to him today, and I noticed that he also wakes up early. He wakes up at 5 a.m. The same thing with Francesco, my friend. Even he wakes up at 4 a.m. The same thing with Sumudu. So I just noticed that a lot of people who are doing very well in their career, not well, but yeah, they are very content, and I look up to them, all wake up early. So that's one habit that I'm trying to inculcate in myself, which I haven't still achieved.
What did you say? What time do you get up if you're comfortable sharing?
I get up at 8:38.
No, I mean, sometimes I get up at 10, or sometimes I get up at 9. So, yeah.
Yeah, but I want to put in the habit of, like, sleeping early, and then I do sleep late also, which is, again, not right. My parents, my father actually does not support this at all. He wants me to sleep early and wake up early. So I want to build that habit, because even I've heard Ankur Variko also talk a lot about it. And if there is a sample set of such great people doing one thing, I think there must be some science behind it, right? So why not try it?
So since you spoke about that, on Twitter, like, obviously there is so much advice, right? I mean, everyone's giving advice, everyone's writing threads. How do you kind of decide, like, you know, whose advice to take and what advice to kind of discard?
I don't look at it. We all have common sense, right? If I read something and I feel if this is something that looks doable, if this thing, something looks legit, I don't know how can I answer this question, but it's very, very natural to me. Even if someone has like 5 million followers on Twitter or any platform, and if they say, hey, listen, drinking alcohol 24/7 is going to make you healthy, I think and that's basic common sense for me to just understand that even though the person has like a great followership or anything, that's not an advice that's suitable for me. At the same time, if someone who doesn't have a followership or anything, but says something which I think aligns with my goals, with my kind of values and morals, why not? I will try to just take that advice. So yeah.
Understood.
But everything with a pinch of salt.
Sure. Definitely. I also noticed that, you know, you host meetups. You do a lot of Twitter Spaces events. Also you have a full-time job. So like, what does your day-to-day life look like? Like, what is your routine? Do you have a routine?
Oh yeah, I do have a routine, and it's, I have, like, again, I like to say this a lot, because I want people to know that you can love your job and you can work a lot but still be happy, and like, be not happy but still enjoy what you're doing. So my day is very hectic, because I host Twitter Spaces, I do a lot of community work, and then I make sure that I'm giving my complete attention to my full-time job. So that makes it like I work around 12 hours a day. 12 hours a day, I can say. I won't recommend it to anyone. It's my personal choice, to be honest. But I enjoy doing that. Like, I wake up, I read a little bit about, I see Twitter, what's trending on Twitter, based and purely in tech terms. Okay, I'm not saying some gossip or something, but I see, okay, what are people writing about? I see the notifications from the people that I genuinely look up to. That's there. Then I go through my calendar in terms of, okay, what are the meetings I have? I mentally prepare myself for those times. And then I start with my day-to-day job, whatever I have. And then, so for me, this community work, this is like things that I do during my break. So rather than watching a Netflix movie, not because I don't want to chill, but Netflix movies don't really, put me in a chill mode now, rather than I'll read a nice blog written by OpenView and that will put me in a chill mode.
Really?
So yeah, it is. And yeah, like seeing, like just finding an interesting product on Product Hunt is something that would make me feel very more energetic than going on YouTube and like watching. So that's something that's happening with me. I had posted a tweet saying that I went out on YouTube to read about React, but I ended up just scrolling through other things. And when I noticed, I was scrolling through these interview videos by, just like yours, there were a lot of interesting interview videos, and I ended up spending around an hour on those. So I don't know. I think I've just been wired this way.
How much? I'm just curious about this. So how much time do you think you would spend on Netflix? So you don't watch Netflix at all, like in a month or so? Like, I don't know.
Well, if I just, so I live with a lot of friends who are excited about Netflix, and if they keep telling me that you need to watch this, then I'm like, okay. But for me, committing to Netflix series is like a very big deal. I hate committing to a series. But something that I liked recently watching is Schitt's Creek. That's something I love. I love Schitt's Creek. So if there's something which is genuinely nice, very positive, I go ahead and watch it. But other than that, no. Like, I really find it boring. Like, yeah, I sleep. I'll rather sleep then.
Understood. So you host events on Twitter Spaces. So just wanted to know how you finding Twitter Spaces. Were you on Clubhouse before this? Yeah, just your thoughts on that.
No, I wasn't on Clubhouse. I didn't even know that there was a platform named as Clubhouse. I just briefly heard about it. But yeah, I never thought of like joining Clubhouse. But Twitter Spaces have a really nice charm to them in ways where it gives anyone the platform to come up and share their thoughts. And that is the first time you listen to someone who has like, who you've just seen their tweets, but you hear their voice and it makes a different connection. So next time when you're interacting with that person, you have a better picture of them. It's not just tweets or not that one profile picture, but you can connect with their voice. So it's a nice personal connection that you build once you are on Twitter Spaces, I guess. And it's a great platform if you stick to the topic that you want to talk about. Sometimes I've noticed that it does end up wasting a lot of your productive time. So join it. I'd suggest join a Twitter space when you genuinely think that that particular topic is going to help you. Or else if you want to actually spend and chill around a Twitter space, but don't join any Twitter space just like that, because it ends up taking like an hour or two of your precious time.
Understood. So when you're not working, what do you like doing?
This is one question that will now everyone will be like, okay, why is she giving, like, she seems like a very workaholic. But yeah, this is what I like doing. Like, right now I'm not working and I'm talking to you. So I like connecting with people and I like knowing what they do. What are the things that they are working on? I like to dig very deep. Like if someone tells me they're working on a React app or something, I'm like, okay, why are you doing this? How are you building this? Can you show me the code base? And could you help me with this? And the next thing you know, both of us are like discussing some topic. This is what I like to do. And I genuinely like to do. It's not something like I force myself, but it's fun. It's something I really enjoy doing.
Do you think it's wrong to be a workaholic?
The whole point is, I don't think this is me being workaholic. Workaholic means like forcing yourself to do something, right? And doing it just because you don't have time or you have to do. For me, this is my way of growing and just spending time. I like to sit and I like to read good blogs. And once I read a good blog, I like to connect with the same folks and appreciate them. So it's like a complete cycle of being very active in the community. So when I'm in my free time, I'm in the community. I'm a part of the community. I'm either sharing or helping or consuming something from the community.
Understood. I think finally, what are your plans for 2022? Do you have anything crazy planned?
Yeah, not crazy plans as such, but I look forward to 2022 as a year when I will be very, very honest in with myself. I will completely accept whatever, completely accept things that I think I need to work on. I'll work on themselves. I'll give out genuine feedback and make sure I help people. And one thing I really want to do is support. This is a recent, you can say, understanding that I've had. And so I really want to support women. Till now, I always felt that me being in a very privileged position, I accept that I've been very privileged in terms of going to a good school, having educated parents, being in a very open culture. I thought I would never ever come across biases or issues of women empowerment. But today, when I'm part of the industry, I can see that it's, if I can feel the brunt of it, like if I can still feel issues, women who do not have these resources, I cannot imagine how much they must be going through it. So
what
I want to
a solution for this. Like, I mean, if
yeah,
what do you think? What do you think is like the? Do you have any proposals, or you know, do you have any solutions in your mind that that maybe could be implemented, or you know, some ideas that you might have on this?
Not actually. I think I would like to take some time and learn more about it and be more empathetic and be actually open, give an open ear to the issues. I haven't done that before. I want to like come out clean for that. I didn't actually accept the fact that, okay, there is such a huge gap. There are these issues. I just felt that it won't be an issue in metropolitan cities, or it's something that is more prevalent in rural areas. But today when I see it, it's equally prevalent in even in metropolitan cities or the tech space, anywhere. So I think I'll take some time. I'll learn more about it. I'll see what are the different ways I can help out. And then I will go out and help. But yeah, that is something that I plan on doing, that being a strong vocal source and force for women out there.
Understood. On that note, Pratham, thank you so much for taking the time. It was really wonderful having you.
Same here. I love the podcast, and it's. I think you should do more of these, and I'm looking forward to listening more of them. And amazing! I just loved the way the podcast went. It was really cool.